and as a tiger who by chance hath spied in some purlieu two gentle fawns at play. Straight couches close, then rising changes oft his couchant watch, as one who chose his ground, whence rushing he might surest seize them both, gripped in each paw. When Adam, first of men, to first of women Eve thus moving speech, turned him all ear to hear new utterance flow. Sole partner and sole part of all these joys, dearer thyself than all, needs must the power that made us, and for us this ample world, be infinitely good, and of his good as liberal and free as infinite, that raised us from the dust and placed us here in all this happiness, who at his hand have nothing merited, nor can perform aught whereof he hath need, he who requires from us no other service than to keep this one, this easy charge, of all the trees in paradise that bear delicious fruit so various, not to taste that only tree of knowledge planted by the tree of life. So near grows death to life, whate'er death is. Some dreadful thing, no doubt, for well thou knowest God hath pronounced it death to taste that tree. The only sign of our obedience left among so many signs of power and rule conferred upon us, and dominion given over all other creatures that possess earth, air, and sea, then let us not think hard one easy prohibition, who enjoy free leave so large to all things else, and choice unlimited of manifold delights. But let us ever praise him and extol his bounty, following our delightful task, to prune these growing plants and tend these flowers, which were it toilsome, yet with thee were sweet. To whom thus Eve replied, O thou for whom and from whom I was formed flesh of thy flesh, and without whom am to no end my guide and head, what thou hast said is just and right. For we to him indeed all praises owe, and daily thanks, I chiefly who enjoy so far the happier lot, enjoying thee preeminent by so much odds, while thou, like consort to thyself, canst nowhere find. That day I oft remember when from sleep I first awaked and found myself reposed, under a shade, on flowers, much wondering where and what I was, whence thither brought and how. Not distant far from thence a murmuring sound of waters issued from a cave and spread into a liquid plain, then stood unmoved, pure as the expanse of heaven. I thither went, with unexperienced thought, and laid me down on the green bank to look into the clear, smooth lake that to me seemed another sky. As I bent down to look, just opposite, a shape within the watery gleam appeared, bending to look on me. I started back. It started back, but pleased I soon returned. Pleased it returned as soon, with answering looks of sympathy and love. There I had fixed mine eyes till now, and pined with vain desire, had not a voice thus warned me, what thou seest, what there thou seest, fair creature, is thyself. With thee it came and goes, but follow me, and I will bring thee where no shadow stays thy coming, and thy soft embrace is he whose image thou art, him thou shalt enjoy, inseparably thine, to him shalt bear multitudes like thyself, and thence be called mother of human race. What could I do but follow straight, invisibly thus led, till I espied thee fair indeed and tall, under a platan, yet methought less fair, less winning soft, less amiably mild than that smooth watery image. Back I turned, thou following criedst aloud, return, fair Eve, whom fliest thou? Whom thou fliest of him thou art, his flesh, his bone, to give thee being I lent out of my side to thee, nearest my heart, substantial life, to have thee by my side, henceforth an individual solace dear. Part of my soul I seek thee, and thee claim, my other half. With that thy gentle hand seized mine, I yielded, and from that time see how beauty is excelled by manly grace and wisdom, which alone is truly fair. So spake our general mother, and with eyes of conjugal attraction unreproved, and meek surrender, half-embracing leaned on our first father. Half her swelling breast, naked, met his under the flowing gold of her loose tresses hid. He, in delight, both of her beauty and submissive charms, smiled with superior love, as Jupiter on Juno smiles when he impregns the clouds that shed May flowers, and pressed her matron lip with kisses pure. Aside the devil turned, for envy, yet with jealous leer malign, eyed them askance, and to himself thus plained, "Sight hateful, sight tormenting, thus these two imparadised in one another's arms, the happier Eden, shall enjoy their fill of bliss on bliss, while I to hell am thrust, where neither joy nor love, but fierce desire, among our other torments, not the least, still unfulfilled with pain of longing pines, yet let me not forget what I have gained from their own mouths. All is not theirs, it seems. One fatal tree there stands of knowledge called. Forbidden them to taste. Knowledge forbidden? Suspicious, reasonless? Why should their lord envy them that? Can it be sin to know? Can it be death? And do they only stand by ignorance? Is that their happy state? The proof of their obedience and their faith? Oh, fair foundation laid whereon to build their ruin! Hence I will excite their minds with more desire to know and to reject envious commands, invented with design to keep them low, whom knowledge might exalt, equal with gods, aspiring to be such, they taste and die. What likelier can ensue? But first with narrow search I must walk round this garden, and no corner leave unspied. A chance, but chance may lead, where I may meet some wandering spirit of heaven by fountain side, or in thick shade retired from him to draw what further would be learnt. Live while ye may, yet, happy pair, enjoy till I return short pleasures, for long woes are to succeed. So saying, his proud step he scornful turned, but with sly circumspection, and began through wood, through waste, or hill, or dale, his roam. Meanwhile, in utmost longitude, where heaven with earth and ocean meets, the setting sun slowly descended, and, with right aspect, against the eastern gate of paradise, levelled his evening rays. It was a rock of alablaster piled up to the clouds, conspicuous far, winding with one ascent, accessible from earth one entrance high. The rest was craggy cliff that overhung, still as it rose, impossible to climb. Between these rocky pillars Gabriel sat, chief of the angelic guards, awaiting night. About him exercised heroic games the unarmed youth of heaven, but nigh at hand. Celestial armoury, shields, helms, and spears, hung high with diamond flaming and with gold. Thither came Uriel, gliding through the even on a sunbeam, swift as a shooting star in autumn thwarts the night, when vapours fired impress the air, and shows the mariner from what point of his compass to beware impetuous winds. He thus began in haste. Gabriel, to thee thy course by lot hath given charge and strict watch, that to this happy place no evil thing approach or enter in. This day at height of noon came to my sphere a spirit, zealous as he seemed, to know more of the Almighty's works, and chiefly man, God's latest image. I described his way, bent all on speed, and marked his airy gait. But in the mount that lies from Eden north, where he first lighted, soon discerned his looks, alien from heaven, with passions foul obscured. Mine eye pursued him still, but under shade lost sight of him. One of the banished crew, I fear, hath ventured from the deep to raise new troubles. Him thy care must be to find. to whom the winged warrior thus returned. "Uriel, no wonder if thy perfect sight, amid the sun's bright circle where thou sitst, see far and wide. In at this gate none pass the vigilance here placed, but such as come well known from heaven, and since meridian hour no creature thence. If spirit of other sort, so minded, have o'erleaped these earthly bounds on purpose, hard thou know'st it to exclude spiritual substance with corporeal bar. But if within the circuit of these walks, in whatsoever shape he lurk, of whom thou tell'st, by morrow dawning I shall know." So promised he, and Uriel to his charge returned on that bright beam, whose point now raised bore him slope downward to the sun now fallen beneath the Azores, whether the prime orb, incredible how swift, had thither rolled, diurnal, or this less voluble earth, by shorter flight to the east, had left him there, arraying with reflected purple and gold the clouds that on his western throne attend. Now came still evening on, and twilight grey had in her sober livery all things clad, silence accompanied for beast and bird. They to their grassy couch, these to their nests, were slunk, all but the wakeful nightingale. She all night long her amorous descant sung. Silence was pleased, now glowed the firmament with living sapphires. Hesperus, that led the starry host, rode brightest, till the moon, rising in clouded majesty at length, apparent queen unveiled her peerless light, and o'er the dark her silver mantle threw. When Adam thus to Eve, "Fair consort, the hour of night, and all things now retired to rest, mind us of like repose, since God hath set labour and rest, as day and night to men successive, and the timely dew of sleep, now falling with soft slumberous weight, inclines our eyelids. Other creatures all day long rove idle, unemployed, and less need rest. Man hath his daily work of body or mind appointed, which declares his dignity, and the regard of heaven on all his ways, while other animals unactive range, and of their doings God takes no account. Tomorrow, ere fresh morning streak the east with first approach of light, we must be risen, and at our pleasant labour, to reform yon flowery arbours, yonder alleys green, our walk at noon with branches overgrown that mock our scant manuring, and require more hands than ours to lop their wanton growth, those blossoms also and those dropping gums that lie bestrown unsightly and unsmooth, ask riddance, if we mean to tread with ease. Meanwhile, as nature wills, night bids us rest." To whom thus Eve, with perfect beauty adorned, "My author and disposer, what thou bidst, unargued I obey, so God ordains. God is thy law, thou mine. To know no more is woman's happiest knowledge and her praise. With thee conversing I forget all time, all seasons and their change, all pleas alike. Sweet is the breath of morn, her rising sweet, with charm of earliest birds. Pleasant the sun when first on this delightful land he spreads his orient beams, on herb, tree, fruit, and flower, glistering with dew. Fragrant the fertile earth after soft showers, and sweet the coming on of grateful evening mild. Then, silent night, with this her solemn bird and this fair moon. And these the gems of heaven, her starry train. But neither breath of morn when she ascends with charm of earliest birds, nor rising sun on this delightful land, nor herb, fruit, flower, glistering with dew, nor fragrance after showers, nor grateful evening mild, nor silent night, with this her solemn bird, nor walk by moon, or glittering starlight, without thee is sweet. But wherefore all night long shine these, for whom this glorious sight, when sleep hath shut all eyes?" To whom our general ancestor replied, daughter of God and man, accomplished Eve. Those have their course to finish round the earth, by morrow evening, and from land to land in order, though to nations yet unborn, ministering light prepared, they set and rise. Lest total darkness should by night regain her old possession, and extinguish life in nature and all things, which these soft fires not only enlighten, but with kindly heat of various influence foment and warm, temper or nourish, or in part shed down their stellar virtue on all kinds that grow on earth, made hereby apter to receive perfection from the sun's more potent ray. These then, though unbeheld in deep of night, shine not in vain, nor think, though men were none, that heaven would want spectators, God want praise. Millions of spiritual creatures walk the earth unseen, both when we wake and when we sleep. All these with ceaseless praise his works behold, both day and night. How often from the steep of echoing hill or thicket have we heard celestial voices to the midnight air, soul or responsive each to other's note, singing their great Creator, oft in bands while they keep watch, or nightly rounding walk, with heavenly touch of instrumental sounds in full harmonic number joined, their songs divide the night and lift our thoughts to heaven. Thus talking, hand in hand alone, they passed on to their blissful bower. It was a place chosen by the sovereign planter when he framed all things to man's delightful use. The roof of thickest covert was in woven shade, laurel and myrtle, and what higher grew of firm and fragrant leaf. On either side acanthus and each odorous bushy shrub fenced up the verdant wall. Each beauteous flower, iris all hues, roses and jessamine, reared high their flourished heads between, and wrought mosaic. Underfoot the violet, crocus and hyacinth with rich inlay, broidered the ground more coloured than with stone of costliest emblem. Other creature here, beast, bird, insect, or worm, durst enter none. Such was their awe of man. In shadier bower, more sacred and sequestered, though but feigned, Pan or Sylvanus never slept, nor nymph, nor Faunus haunted. Here in close recess, with flowers, garlands, and sweet-smelling herbs, espoused Eve decked first her nuptial bed, and heavenly choirs the Hymenaean sung. What day the genial angel to our sire brought her, in naked beauty more adorned, more lovely than Pandora, whom the gods endowed with all their gifts, and oh, too like, in sad event, when to the unwiser son of Japhet, brought by Hermes, she ensnared mankind with her fair looks, to be avenged on him who had stole Jove's authentic fire. Thus at their shady lodge arrived, both stood, both turned, and under open sky adored the God that made both sky, air, earth, and heaven, which they beheld, the moon's resplendent globe and starry pole. Thou also madest the night, maker omnipotent, and thou the day, which we in our appointed work employed have finished happy in our mutual help and mutual love, the crown of all our bliss ordained by thee, and this delicious place for us, too large, where thy abundance wants partakers and uncropped falls to the ground. But thou hast promised from us too a race to fill the earth, who shall with us extol thy goodness infinite, both when we wake and when we seek, as now, thy gift of sleep. This said, unanimous, and other rites observing none but adoration pure, which God likes best, into their inmost bower, handed, they went, and eased the putting off these troublesome disguises which we wear. Straight side by side were laid, nor turned, I ween, Adam from his fair spouse, nor Eve the rites mysterious of connubial love refused. Whatever hypocrites austerely talk of purity and place and innocence, defaming as impure what God declares pure and commands to some, leaves free to all. Our Maker bids increase. Who bids abstain but our destroyer, foe to God and man? Hail, wedded love, mysterious law, true source of human offspring, sole propriety in paradise of all things common else. By thee adulterous lust was driven from men among the bestial herds to range. By thee, founded in reason, loyal, just, and pure, relations dear, and all the charities of father, son, and brother first were known. Far be it that I should write thee sin or blame, or think thee unbefitting holiest place, perpetual fountain of domestic sweets, whose bed is undefiled and chaste pronounced, present or past, as saints and patriarchs used, here love his golden shafts employs, here lights his constant lamp and waves his purple wings, reigns here and revels, not in the bought smile of harlots, loveless, joyless, unendeared, casual fruition, nor in court amours, mixed dance or wanton mask or midnight ball, or serenade which the starved lover sings to his proud fair, best quitted with disdain. These, lulled by nightingales, embracing slept, and on their naked limbs the flowery roof showered roses which the morn repaired. Sleep on, blessed pair, and oh, yet happiest if ye seek no happier state, and know to know no more. Now, had night measured with her shadowy cone, halfway up hill this vast sublunar vault, and from their ivory port the cherubim, forth issuing at the accustomed hour, stood armed to their night watches in warlike parade, when Gabriel to his next in power thus spake, Uziel, half these draw off and coast the south with strictest watch, these others wheel the north, our circuit meets full west. As flame they part, half wheeling to the shield, half to the spear. From these two strong and subtle spirits he called, that near him stood, and gave them thus in charge. Ithuriel and Zephon, with winged speed, search through this garden, leave unsearched no nook, but chiefly where those two fair creatures lodge, now laid perhaps asleep, secure of harm. This evening from the sun's decline arrived, who tells of some infernal spirit seen, hitherward bent, who could have thought, escaped the bars of hell on errand bad, no doubt. Such, where ye find, seize fast, and hither bring. So saying, on he led his radiant files, dazzling the moon, these to the bower direct in search of whom they sought. Him there they found, squat like a toad, close at the ear of Eve, essaying by his devilish art to reach the organs of her fancy, and with them forge illusions as he list phantasms and dreams, or if, inspiring venom, he might taint the animal spirits that from pure blood arise, like gentle breaths from rivers pure, thence raise at least distempered, discontented thoughts, vain hopes, vain aims, inordinate desires, blown up with high conceits engendering pride. Him thus intent Ithuriel with his spear touched lightly, for no falsehood can endure touch of celestial temper, but returns of force to its own likeness. Up he starts, discovered and surprised, as when a spark lights on a heap of nitrous powder, laid fit for the ton some magazine to store against a rumored war, the smutty grain with sudden blaze diffused inflames the air. So started up in his own shape the fiend, back stepped those two fair angels, half amazed, so sudden to behold the grisly king, yet thus, unmoved with fear, accost him soon. Which of those rebel spirits adjudged to hell, com'st thou, escaped thy prison, and transformed? Why sat'st thou like an enemy in wait, here watching at the head of these that sleep? Know ye not then, said Satan, filled with scorn, know ye not me? Ye knew me once, no mate for you there sitting where ye durst not soar. Not to know me argues yourselves unknown, the lowest of your throng. Or if ye know, why ask ye and superfluous begin your message like to end as much in vain? To whom thus Zephon, answering scorn with scorn, "Think not, revolted spirit, thy shape the same, or undiminished brightness to be known as when thou stoodst in heaven upright and pure. That glory then, when thou no more wast good, departed from thee, and thou resemblest now thy sin and place of doom obscure and foul. But come, for thou, be sure, shalt give account to him who sent us, whose charge is to keep this place inviolable and these from harm." So spake the cherub, and his grave rebuke, severe in youthful beauty, added grace, invincible, abashed the devil stood, and felt how awful goodness is, and saw virtue in her shape, how lovely, sore, and pined his loss. But chiefly to find here observed, his lustre visibly impaired, yet seemed undaunted. "If I must contend," said he, "best with the best, the sender, not the sent, or all at once, more glory will be won, or less be lost." "Thy fear," said Zephon bold, "will save us trial, what the least can do, single against the wicked, and thence weak." The fiend replied not, overcome with rage, but like a proud steed reined, went haughty on, champing his iron curb. To strive or fly he held it vain, or from above had quelled his heart not else dismayed. Now drew they nigh the western point, where those half-rounding guards just met, and closing stood in squadron joined, awaiting next command. To whom their chief, Gabriel, from the front thus called aloud, "O friends, I hear the tread of nimble feet hasting this way, and now by glimpse discern Ithuriel and Zephon through the shade, and with them comes a third of regal port, but faded splendour wan, who by his gait and fierce demeanour seems the prince of hell, not likely to part hence without contest. Stand firm, for in his look defiance lures." He scarce had ended, when those two approached, and brief related whom they brought, where found, how busied, in what form and posture couched. To whom with stern regard thus Gabriel spake, "Why hast thou, Satan, broke the bounds prescribed to thy transgressions, and disturbed the charge of others who approve not to transgress by thy example, but have power and right to question thy bold entrance on this place, employed, it seems, to violate sleep, and those whose dwelling God hath planted here in bliss?" To whom thus Satan, with contemptuous brow, "Gabriel, thou hadst in heaven the esteem of wise, and such I held thee, but this question asked puts me in doubt. Lives there who loves his pain? Who would not, finding way, break loose from hell, though thither doomed? Thou wouldst thyself, no doubt, and boldly venture to whatever place farthest from pain, where thou mightst hope to change torment with ease, and soonest recompense dole with delight, which in this place I sought. To thee no reason, who know'st only good, but evil hast not tried, and wilt object his will who bound us? Let him surer bar his iron gates, if he intends our stay in that dark durance. Thus much what was asked, the rest is true, they found me where they say, but that implies not violence or harm." Thus he in scorn, the warlike angel moved, disdainfully half smiling, thus replied, "O loss of one in heaven to judge of why, since Satan fell, whom folly overthrew, and now returns him from his prison scaped, gravely in doubt whether to hold them wise or not, who ask what boldness brought him hither, unlicensed from his bounds in hell prescribed. So wise he judges it to fly from pain, however, and to escape his punishment. So judge thou still, presumptuous, till the wrath which thou incurst by flying, meet thy flight sevenfold, and scourge that wisdom back to hell, which taught thee yet no better, that no pain can equal anger infinite provoked. But wherefore thou alone, wherefore with thee came not all hell broke loose? Is pain to them less pain, less to be fled, or thou than they, less hardy to endure? Courageous chief, the first in flight from pain, hadst thou alleged to thy deserted host this cause of flight, thou surely hadst not come sole fugitive. to which the fiend thus answered, frowning stern, "Not that I less endure, or shrink from pain, insulting angel. Well thou knowest I stood thy fiercest when in battle to thy aid the blasting volleyed thunder made all speed, and seconded thy else not dreaded spear. But still I words at random, as before, argue thy inexperience what behoves from hard assays and ill successes past a faithful leader, not to hazard all through ways of danger by himself untried. I, therefore, I alone first undertook to wing the desolate abyss and spy this new created world, whereof in hell fame is not silent, here in hope to find better abode, and my afflicted powers to settle here on earth or in mid-air. Though for possession put to try once more, what thou and thy gay legions dare against, whose easier business were to serve their lord, high up in heaven with songs to hymn his throne, and practice distances to cringe, not fight." To whom the warrior angel soon replied, "To say, and straight unsay, pretending first, wise to fly pain, professing next the spy, argues no leader, but a liar traced Satan, and couldst thou faithful add? O name, O sacred name of faithfulness profaned, faithful to whom? To thy rebellious crew? Army of fiends, fit body to fit head, was this your discipline and faith engaged, your military obedience to dissolve allegiance to the acknowledged power supreme? And thou, sly hypocrite, who now would seem patron of liberty, who more than thou once fawned and cringed and servilely adored heaven's awful monarch, wherefore but in hope to dispossess him and thyself to reign? But mark what I arreed thee now, avaunt, fly thither whence thou fledst. If from this hour, within these hallowed limits thou appear, back to the infernal pit I drag thee chained, and seal thee so as henceforth not to scorn the facile gates of hell, too slightly barred." So threatened he, but Satan to no threats gave heed, but waxing more in rage replied, "Then when I am thy captive, talk of chains, proud limitary cherub, but ere then, far heavier load thyself expect to feel from my prevailing arm, though heaven's king ride on thy wings, and thou with thy compeers, used to the yoke, drawest his triumphant wheels in progress through the road of heaven star-paved." While thus he spake, the angelic squadron bright turned fiery red, sharpening in moonlit horns their phalanx, and began to hem him round with ported spears, as thick as when a field of Ceres ripe for harvest waving bends her bearded grove of ears, which way the wind sways them, the careful ploughman doubting stands, lest on the threshing floor his hopeful sheaves prove chaff. On the other side, Satan, alarmed, collecting all his might, dilated stood, like Tenerife or Atlas unremoved. His stature reached the sky, and on his crest sat horror plumed, nor wanted in his grasp what seemed both spear and shield. Now dreadful deeds might have ensued, nor only paradise in this commotion, but the starry cope of heaven, perhaps, or all the elements, at least, had gone to rack, disturbed and torn, with violence of this conflict, and not soon, the eternal to prevent such horrid fray, hung forth in heaven his golden scales, yet seen betwixt Axtria and the scorpion sign, wherein all things created first he weighed, the pendulous round earth with balanced air in counterpoise, now ponders all events, battles and realms. In these he put two weights, the sequel each of parting and of fight. The latter quick up flew and kicked the beam, which Gabriel, spying, thus bespake the fiend. "Satan, I know thy strength, and thou knowest mine, neither our own but given. What folly, then, to boast what arms can do, since thine no more than heaven permits, nor mine, though doubled now, to trample thee as mire? For proof look up, and read thy lot in yon celestial sign. where thou art weighed and shown how light, how weak, if thou resist. The fiend looked up and knew his mounted scale aloft no more, but fled, murmuring, and with him fled the shades of night. Book Five, The Argument. Morning approached. Eve relates to Adam her troublesome dream. He likes it not, yet comforts her. They come forth to their day labours, their morning hymn at the door of their bower. God, to render man inexcusable, sends Raphael to admonish him of his obedience, of his free estate, of his enemy near at hand, who he is and why his enemy, and whatever else may avail Adam to know. Raphael comes down to paradise, his appearance described, his coming discerned by Adam afar off, sitting at the door of his bower. He goes out to meet him, brings him to his lodge, entertains him with the choicest fruits of paradise got together by Eve. Their discourse at table. Raphael performs his message, minds Adam of his state and of his enemy, relates at Adam's request who that enemy is, and how he came to be so, beginning from his first revolt in heaven, and the occasion thereof, how he drew his legions after him to the parts of the north, and there incited them to rebel with him, persuading all but only Abdiel our seraph, who in argument dissuades and opposes him, then forsakes him. Now Morn, her rosy steps in the eastern clime advancing, sowed the earth with orient pearl. When Adam waked, so customed, for his sleep was airy light from pure digestion bred, and temperate vapours bland, which the only sound of leaves and fuming rills, Aurora's fan, lightly dispersed, and the shrill matin song of birds on every bough. So much the more his wonder was to find unwakened Eve, with tresses discomposed and glowing cheek, as though on quiet rest, he on his side, leaning half-raised with looks of cordial love, hung over her enamoured, and beheld beauty, which, whether waking or asleep, shot forth peculiar graces. Then, with voice mild, as when Zephyrus on Flora breathes, her hand soft-touching whispered thus, "Awake, my fairest, my espoused, my latest found, heaven's last best gift, my ever-new delight. Awake, the morning shines, and the fresh field calls us. We lose the prime to mark how spring, our tended plants, how blows the citron grove, what drops the myrrh, and what the balmy reed, how nature paints her colours, how the bee sits on the bloom extracting liquid sweet." Such whispering waked her, but with startled eye, on Adam, whom embracing thus she spake. "O soul in whom my thoughts find all repose, my glory, my perfection, glad I see thy face and morn returned, for I this night, such night till this I never passed, have dreamed, if dreamed not as I oft am wont of thee, works of day past or morrow's next design, but of offence and trouble, which my mind knew never till this irksome night. Methought, close at mine ear one called me forth to walk, with gentle voice I thought it thine, it said, 'Why sleep'st thou, Eve? Now is the pleasant time, the cool, the silent, save where silence yields to the night-warbling bird, that now awake tunes sweetest his love-laboured song. Now reigns, full-orbed the moon, and with more pleasing light shadowy sets off the face of things. In vain, if none regard, heaven wakes with all his eyes, whom to behold but thee, nature's desire, in whose sight all things joy, with ravishment attracted by thy beauty still to gaze. I rose as at thy call, but found thee not. To find thee I directed then my walk, and on, methought, alone I passed through ways that brought me on a sudden to the tree of interdicted knowledge. Fair, it seemed, much fairer to my fancy than by day. And as I wondering looked, beside it stood one shaped and winged like one of those from heaven, by us oft seen. His dewy locks distilled ambrosia, on that tree he also gazed. "And, O fair plant," said he, with fruit surcharged. Deigns none to ease thy load and taste thy sweet, nor God nor man. Is knowledge so despised, or envy, or what reserve forbids to taste? Forbid who will, none shall from me withhold longer thy offered good. Why else set here? This said, he paused not, but with venturous arm he plucked, he tasted, me damp horror-chilled at such bold words vouched with a deed so bold. But he, thus overjoyed, O fruit divine, sweet of thyself, but much more sweet thus cropped, forbidden here, it seems, as only fit for gods, yet able to make gods of men. And why not gods of men, since good, the more communicated, more abundant grows, the author not impaired, but honoured more? Here, happy creature, fair angelic Eve, partake thou also. Happy though thou art, happier thou mayst be, worthier canst not be. Taste this, and be henceforth among the gods, thyself a goddess not to earth confined, but sometimes in the air, as we sometimes ascend to heaven by merit thine, and see what life the gods live there, and such live thou. So saying, he drew nigh, and to me held, even to my mouth of that same fruit held part, which he had plucked, the pleasant savoury smell so quickened appetite that I, methought, could not but taste. Forthwith up to the clouds with him I flew, and underneath beheld the earth outstretched immense, a prospect wide and various. Wondering at my flight and change to this high exaltation, suddenly my guide was gone, and I, methought, sunk down and fell asleep. But oh, how glad I waked to find this but a dream! Thus Eve her night related, and thus Adam answered sad. Best image of myself and dearer half, the trouble of thy thoughts this night in sleep affects me equally, nor can I like this uncouth dream of evil sprung, I fear. Yet evil whence? In thee can harbour none, created pure, but know that in the soul are many lesser faculties that serve reason as chief. Among these fancy next her office holds, of all external things, which the five watchful senses represent, she forms imaginations, airy shapes, which reason, joining or disjoining, frames all what we affirm or what deny, and call our knowledge or opinion, then retires into her private cell when nature rests. Oft in her absence mimic fancy wakes to imitate her, but misjoining shapes wild work produces oft, and most in dreams, ill-matching words and deeds long past or late. Some such resemblance, methinks I find, of our last evening's talk in this thy dream, but with addition strange. Yet be not sad. Evil into the mind of God or man may come and go, so unapproved, and leave no spot or blame behind, which gives me hope that what in sleep thou didst abhor to dream, waking thou never wilt consent to do. Be not disheartened then, nor cloud those looks that wont to be more cheerful and serene than when fair morning first smiles on the world. And let us to our fresh employments rise among the groves, the fountains, and the flowers that open now their choicest bosomed smells, reserved from night, and kept for thee in store. So cheered he his fair spouse, and she was cheered, but silently a gentle tear let fall from either eye, and wiped them with her hair. Two other precious drops that ready stood, each in their crystal sluice, he, ere they fell, kissed as the gracious signs of sweet remorse and pious awe that feared to have offended. So all was cleared, and to the field they haste, but first from under shady arborous roof, soon as they forth were come to open sight of day's spring and the sun, who, scarce uprisen, with wheels yet hovering o'er the ocean brim, shot parallel to the earth his dewy ray, discovering in wide landscape all the east of Paradise and Eden's happy plains. Lowly they bowed, adoring, and began their orisons, each morning duly paid in various style, for neither various style nor holy rapture wanted they to praise their Maker in fit strains pronounced or sung. Unmeditated, such prompt eloquence flowed from their lips in prose or numerous verse, more tunable than needed lute or harp, to add more sweetness, and they thus began: "These are thy glorious works, Parent of Good, Almighty, thine this universal frame, thus wondrous fair, thyself how wondrous then, unspeakable, who sitt'st above these heavens, to us invisible or dimly seen, in these thy lowest works, yet these declare thy goodness beyond thought and power divine. Speak ye who best can tell, ye sons of light, angels, for ye behold him, and with songs and choral symphonies, day without night, circle his throne rejoicing, ye in heaven, on earth join all ye creatures to extol him first, him last, him midst, and without end. Fairest of stars, last in the train of night, if better thou belong not to the dawn, sure pledge of day that crowns the smiling morn, with thy bright circlet, praise him in thy sphere, while day arises, that sweet hour of prime. Thou sun of this great world, both eye and soul, acknowledge him thy greater, sound his praise in thy eternal course, both when thou climb'st, and when high noon hast gained, and when thou fall'st. Moon, that now meet'st the orient sun, now fliest with the fixed stars, fixed in their orb that flies, and ye five other wandering fires that move in mystic dance, not without song, resound his praise, who out of darkness called up light. Air, and ye elements, the eldest birth of nature's womb, that in quaternion run, perpetual circle, multiform, and mix, and nourish all things, let your ceaseless change vary to our great Maker still new praise. Ye mists and exhalations that now rise from hill or steaming lake, dusky or grey, till the sun paint your fleecy skirts with gold, in honour to the world's great author rise, whether to deck with clouds the uncoloured sky, or wet the thirsty earth with falling showers. Rising or falling still, advance his praise. His praise, ye winds that from four quarters blow, breathe soft or loud, and wave your tops, ye pines, with every plant, in sign of worship, wave. Fountains, and ye that warble as ye flow, melodious murmurs, warbling tune his praise. Join voices, all ye living souls, ye birds, that singing up to heaven gate ascend, bear on your wings and in your notes his praise. Ye that in waters glide, and ye that walk the earth, and stately tread or lowly creep. Witness if I be silent, morn or even, to hill or valley, fountain or fresh shade, made vocal by my song and taught his praise. Hail, universal Lord, be bounteous still, to give us only good, and if the night have gathered aught of evil or concealed, disperse it, as now light dispels the dark." So prayed they, innocent, and to their thoughts firm peace recovered soon and wonted calm. On to their morning's rural work they haste, among sweet dews and flowers, where any row of fruit trees over woody reached too far their pampered boughs, and needed hands to check fruitless embraces, or they led the vine to wed her elm. She spoused about him, twines her marriageable arms, and with her brings her dower the adopted clusters to adorn his barren leaves. Them thus employed beheld with pity heaven's high king, and to him called Raphael, a sociable spirit that deigned to travel with Tobias, and secured his marriage with the seven times wedded maid. "Raphael," said he, "thou hearest what stir on earth? Satan from hellscape through the darksome gulf hath raised in paradise, and how disturbed this night the human pair, how he designs in them at once to ruin all mankind. Go, therefore, half this day as friend with friend, converse with Adam, in what bower or shade thou find'st him from the heat of noon retired, to respite his day labour with repast, or with repose, and such discourse bring on as may advise him of his happy state, happiness in his power left free to will, left to his own free will, his will, though free, yet mutable, whence warn him to beware, he swerve not too secure, tell him withal his danger, and from whom, what enemy, late fallen himself from heaven, is plotting now the fall of others from like state of bliss. By violence, no, for that shall be withstood, but by deceit and lies, this let him know, lest wilfully transgressing he pretend surprisal, unadmonished, unforewarned. So spake the Eternal Father, and fulfilled all justice, nor delayed the winged saint after his charge received. But from among thousand celestial ardours where he stood, veiled with his gorgeous wings, upspringing light, flew through the midst of heaven, the angelic choirs on each hand parting, to his speed gave way through all the imperial road, till at the gate of heaven arrived, the gate self opened wide, on golden hinges turning, as by work divine the sovereign architect had framed. From hence, no cloud, or to obstruct his sight, star interposed, however small he sees, not unconform to other shining globes, earth and the garden of God, with cedars crowned above all hills, as when by night the glass of Galileo, less assured, observes imagined lands and regions in the moon, or Pilot from amidst the Cyclades, Delos or Samos first appearing, kens a cloudy spot. Down thither prone in flight, he speeds, and through the vast ethereal sky sails between worlds and worlds with steady wing, now on the polar wings, then with quick fan, winnows the buxom air, till within soar of towering eagles to all the fowls he seems a phoenix gazed by all, as that sole bird, when to enshrine his relics in the sun's bright temple to Egyptian Thebes he flies. At once on the eastern cliff of paradise he lights, and to his proper shape returns, a seraph winged, six wings he wore to shade his lineaments divine, the pair that clad each shoulder broad, came mantling o'er his breast with regal ornament, the middle pair, girt like a starry zone his waist, and round skirted his loins and thighs with downy gold, and colours dipped in heaven. The third, his feet, shadowed from either heel with feathered mail, sky-tinctured grain. Like Maya's sun he stood, and shook his plumes, that heavenly fragrance filled the circuit wide. Straight knew him all the bands of angels under watch, and to his state, and to his message high in honour rise. For on some message high they guessed him bound. Their glittering tents he passed, and now is come into the blissful field, through groves of myrrh, and flowering odours, cassia, nard, and balm, a wilderness of sweets, for nature here wantoned, as in her prime, and played at will, her virgin fancies, pouring forth more sweet, wild above rule or art, enormous bliss. Him, through the spicy forest, onward come, Adam discerned, as in the door he sat of his cool bower, while now the mounted sun shot down direct his fervid rays to warm earth's inmost womb, more warmth than Adam needs. And Eve within, dew at her hour prepared for dinner savoury fruits, of taste to please true appetite, and not disrelish thirst, of nectarous draughts between from milky stream, berry or grape. To whom thus Adam called, "Haste hither, Eve, and worth thy sight behold, eastward among those trees, what glorious shape comes this way moving? Seems another morn risen on mid-noon. Some great behest from heaven to us perhaps he brings, and will vouchsafe this day to be our guest. But go with speed, and what thy stores contain, bring forth and pour abundance fit to honour and receive our heavenly stranger. Well we may afford our givers their own gifts, and large bestow from large bestowed, where nature multiplies her fertile growth, and by disburdening grows more fruitful, which instructs us not to spare. to whom thus Eve, "Adam, earth's hallowed mould, of God inspired, small store will serve, where store, all seasons, ripe for use, hangs on the stalk. Save what by frugal storing firmness gains to nourish, and superfluous moist consumes. But I will haste, and from each bough and brake, each plant and juiciest gourd will pluck such choice to entertain our angel guest, as he, beholding, shall confess that here on earth God hath dispensed his bounties as in heaven." So saying, with dispatchful looks in haste she turns, on hospitable thoughts intent, what choice to choose for delicacy best, what order so contrived as not to mix tastes not well joined, inelegant, but bring taste after taste upheld with kindliest change, bestirs her then, and from each tender stalk, whatever earth all-bearing mother yields, in India, east or west, or middle short, in Pontus or the Punic coast, or where Alcinous reigned, fruit of all kinds, in coat, rough or smooth rind, or bearded husk or shell, she gathers, tribute large, and on the board heaps with unsparing hand, for drink the grape she crushes, inoffensive must, and meaths from many a berry, and from sweet kernels pressed she tempers dulcet creams, nor these to hold once her fit vessels pure, then strews the ground with rose and odours from the shrub unfumed. Meanwhile our primitive great sire, to meet his godlike guest, walks forth, without more train, accompanied than with his own complete perfections, in himself was all his state. More solemn than the tedious pomp that waits on princes when their rich retinue long, of horses led and grooms besmeared with gold, dazzles the crowd and sets them all agape. Nearer his presence Adam, though not awed, yet with submiss approach and reverence meek, as to a superior nature bowing low, thus said, "Native of heaven, for other place, none can than heaven such glorious shape contain. Since by descending from the thrones above, those happy places thou hast deigned a while to want and honour these, vouchsafe with us two only, who yet by sovereign gift possess this spacious ground in yonder shady bower, to rest, and what the garden choicest bears, to sit and taste, till this meridian heat be over and the sun more cool decline." Whom thus the angelic virtue answered mild, "Adam, I therefore came, nor art thou such created, or such place hast here to dwell, as may not oft invite those spirits of heaven to visit thee. Lead on, then, where thy bower or shades, for these mid-hours till evening rise, I have at will." So to the sylvan lodge they came, that like Pomona's arbour smiled with flowerets decked and fragrant smells. But Eve, undecked, save with herself more lovely fair than wood-nymph, for the fairest goddess feigned, of three that in Mount Ida naked strove, stood to entertain her guest from heaven. No veil she needed, virtue proof, no thought infirm, altered her cheek, on whom the angel hail bestowed the holy salutation used long after to blessed Mary, second Eve. "Hail, mother of mankind, whose fruitful womb shall fill the world more numerous with thy sons than with these various fruits the trees of God have heaped this table." Raised of grassy turf their table was, and mossy seats had round, and on her ample square from side to side all autumn piled, though spring and autumn here danced hand in hand. A wild discourse they hold, no fear lest dinner cool, when thus began our author: "Heavenly stranger, pleased to taste these bounties which our nourisher, from whom all perfect good unmeasured out descends, to us for food and for delight hath caused the earth to yield, unsavoury food perhaps to spiritual natures, only this I know, that one celestial father gives to all." To whom the angel: "Therefore what he gives, whose praise be ever sung, to man in part spiritual may of purest spirits be found, no ingrateful food, and food alike those pure intelligential substances require, as doth your rational, and both contain within them every lower faculty of sense, whereby they hear, see, smell, touch, taste, tasting concoct, digest, assimilate, and corporeal to incorporeal turn. For know, whatever was